Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is... Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Merry New Year!
Merry New Year. Yeah, he has crazy.
We are officially ready to go talking sports with the 12th man. Man, oh man, time flies when you're having fun. It is, of course, the new year, January the 5th. I am joined with some awesome folks to get ready to start 12th Man, 12th talking sports from 12th Man, if I get myself right.
I'm
joined by my two fellow co-hosts who are not going to throw their balls at the referee whenever he's not looking, but we're going to talk about it a little later on. But,
I might.
Let's keep you may trip some folks too, man, Grayson, Alan, over there.
Hey, listen, after New Year's Eve, I might start pegging people who just drop back 5 steps. Bow! Like
wow. That's the awesome voice you hear is one of JQ. I'm not going to talk about that, but we'll give you some time to heal, JQ. But how are you feeling beside all that this evening, sir?
Oh, no, we got to be objective. I've had enough time since, you know, that destruction. I can talk about it. It's disappointing, but, you know, it happened in prime time. They got whooped. There's no sugarcoating it. That's a whooping.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, Rob's team got whooped, too, and he was pretty good. So, you know, let's check in with Mr. Rob Ford. How you feeling this evening, sir? You okay, bro?
Man, doing great. Just a little sleepy, but, hey, you got to wake up. Time to celebrate.
Wake up.
It's the first of the month.
There you go.
I know if you're going that, if you're going Marvin Gaye, I don't know which one you're going, but yeah.
I know.
Yeah. America. America, we're having a good time. Of course, I am your co-host, Dre. So let's get this party started. Let me fill out some numbers and all the pertinent information. If you want to reach out to your boys, once and always, the number to call in, it's 424-243-9519. We are available on Twitter. That handle is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, if you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you actually type in Talking Sports 12th Man, you will find us in that area as well. Gentlemen, we've got a lot of things to talk about. Let's kick it right off with the NFL. What's kind of pretty, you know, we're getting ready to run into the playoffs here. Let's talk about a really quick topic. I'm going to let Rob take the run with this, which is interesting because I guess he's thinking the Patriots don't win the Super Bowl. But if the Patriots don't win the Super Bowl, who will eliminate them? I'm going to lead it off with you, Rob Ford, sir.
Wow, that's a tough question.
No, it's not.
Wow.
Rob, we got nothing to say.
I guess if there's one team that could eliminate the Patriots, I guess you would have to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're probably the one team. I know Kansas City's a 2 seed, but I just don't see them being that team that can go on the road. I think you got to have a team that can put up some points and have some weapons that can keep pace with them. So I think if you're going to go with any team, I think in my opinion you have to say the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, with that threesome on offense that they have, will be the one team that's probably capable of going on the road in the AFC and pulling it off.
JQ?
Couldn't have said it no better. You heard me say ding, ding, ding. Yes, there is one team that you know that can potentially derail, and I hate it, and I hate to say that about them, and I would hate that game because I can't root for anybody in that game, but it's Pittsburgh. For everything you just said, you know, the Bees with Ben Bell and Brown on offense, and then if they get Darius Green back to, you know, run that scene with a tight end out of the concussion protocol, and then that defense has actually been playing a lot better down the stretch. And I hate to talk good about them, but, you know, we got caught up in the whole Green Bay 6-0 stretch. You do realize Pittsburgh has been 7-0 in that same one more game than Green Bay down the stretch, but didn't nobody make a proclamation, so it didn't get all the attention that Aaron Rodgers got for saying it out loud and doing it. But they require that, I believe, went 7-0 down the stretch. So there's one team with a veteran quarterback, with a good defense that, if you say it can score points and keep pace with Tom Brady, it's those friggin' Steelers. Sorry.
Appreciate that, JQ. Yeah, you know, I agree with you, man, right now. That's probably
Don't hate. Congratulate, homie.
Yeah, oh, whatever. You won't congratulate the Falcons.
Oh!
Yeah, I congratulate them, but I still hate them.
You'll be talking bad about them when you're talking good about them. You'll be doing both. Don't you put that on
right,
me.
Right, that's right, JQ. You tell them, JQ. That's right, bro. Keep it real. What?
Well, keeping it real goes wrong.
Yeah. Are the Raiders in trouble, JQ, man? I mean, you know, they're down to their third string quarterback, Connor Cook, going against the Texans. I mean, is this – I kind of feel bad for – I mean, you know, injuries happen, but, man, are they in trouble, you think, man, as far as that particular game, man, versus Texans?
You know what is crazy, and I got to give, first of all, Rob a lot of credit, because he said it when we were doing our top five teams, that we had to put Oakland up there, but they were going to have a young quarterback – and a young, you know, skill set that may not translate to playing at Pittsburgh and New England when you get deeper in the playoffs to make that next move. And I think he's right. It's only been exacerbated now with, you know, Connor Cook being back there. So, just absolutely. But can we talk about how the Texans are – how do they keep finding these draws, you know, where they get a Cincinnati team that can't win in the playoffs? And then, you know, they got unlucky with Kansas City. But then you get a Oakland team who's lost their quarterback. Like, Houston – to be like the fourth seed winning the AFC South or like the wild card, they real quiet like have been getting some pretty decent draws to win a playoff game. You know, that's a game Houston, even with Osweiler, Houston's defense is pretty good. With Connor Cook, I don't know if I can pick Oakland to be Houston.
Yeah. And I know we're probably going to talk about that too whenever we pick the weekend picks, but I was just thought about that today because I was going through it. I was like, man, that's kind of tough for them. So same thing for you, Robin. I know we'll talk about that more in depth. The next segment too, sir. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. As far as going ahead and our prediction with the Houston and the Raiders.
I was just asking you, is Oakland in trouble, man? I know we're going to talk about some who's declared for the draft too. But yeah, go ahead, sir.
Well, I would definitely say, obviously, when you Derek Carr, you can almost put him in the MVP conversation with the kind of year he was having this year. So, I mean, obviously, you're going with Connor Cook as your starting quarterback this year.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, I mean, there are some of the Raiders offensive linemen said the first – they just heard him speak for the first time this past weekend. So, I think that helps you forward in the playoffs.
Hey,
so, yeah. So, I would say in this playoff game, yes, they are in trouble. And I know we're going to be getting to our predictions shortly, but I'm not that impressed with Houston. But I will say, obviously, I was in Houston this past Sunday, and when Tom Savage got hurt, Brock is probably the best game I've seen with Osweiler play all year. So maybe that gives them some advantage going into the playoffs, but I just can't see Oakland winning this game.
Wow. Gotcha.
Look at
even though they're 12-4 and Houston is 9-7.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think with Derek Carr, they win that game. But with Connor Cook, I think it took
them
back to Houston because I think Houston's defense is just playing a little bit better. But the scale of it is that, you know, Brock has actually played meaningful games, and you're right, he played pretty good in coming out in injury relief. But it's just tough for Oakland, given how good a year they had, you know, to lose Carr like that. It's just that's a tough break for them, period. Because you're right, he was the MVP candidate for sure. And I can't say that they will win deep for all the reasons that Rob said, but to lose your starting quarterback that late in the season and have to turn into a rookie is just tough work.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. I didn't mean to talk about that. I was just thinking about that too off the cuff too. But let's kick this off. So interesting move here that Oklahoma running back Joe Mixon has to fare for the NFL draft. Rob, what the heck is going on with that? I was going to say something else, man. What's up with that, sir?
He had a great season, close to 1,300 yards rushing, 15 touchdowns. Obviously, it's kind of overshadowed with the video, of course, with him punching a woman. And so I think it was kind of hard pressed for him to come back to school, even though Bob Stoops did kind of support him through the situation there. I just have to wonder how much is that going to affect his draft stock and his draft grade. I mean, I have him somewhere as a third-round talent as we speak. But, you know, we'll have to see what kind of value or disvalue NFL teams are going to put on him as a result of that incident.
Your thoughts, Shake, here.
Yeah, you know what? The thing about it is, like, he's in no man's land because, yeah, Bob Stoops helped him out. But I can believe that Bob Stoops said, guess what? You can't come back to Oklahoma. We're not going to have every game next year where every press conference I have to talk about you and why is Joe Mixon on the team and is he getting counseling? Do you think he's a changed man? I'm not answering them questions every week. So Bob was like, I got you. You know, I'm going to put a good word out for you in the press conference and whatnot, and you're going to play. But when this you know, this bowl game was over, yeah, you got to go, bro, because you don't have a spot no more. So he's in that no man's land because I agree with Rob. I think he has a more awesome second-round talent. But which GM is going to put his neck out and take all of that blowback and backlash from drafting him because it's still too close in this day and age? They ain't going to let him live. Like, that happened to Tyreek Hill a couple years ago, and he's still getting it. So think about what's going to happen to Nixon. He may have to go the undrafted route. He's going to have a hard time this year, you know, with somebody calling his name at the podium. He may not get drafted. And I mean, that's just the reality of the situation when you put yourself in that position. But which GM? It's got to be a GM that's like, you know what, we're so bad that I might get fired next year anyway if I don't draft this kid. But if I draft him and he hits a home run for him, he might save my job. Like, it's going to take that level of desperation, I think, for him to get drafted in light of what's happened to him. So he's really in no man's land. I don't think he could go back to Oklahoma. He had to put his hat in the ring and see what happened and then just take the, you know, the chips as they fall from draft day moving forward.
Had a pretty good Sugar Bowl against Auburn, too, over 90-something yards, 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think it's just going to be very interesting to see how these NFL teams embrace him going forward here in the next few months.
That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough to call his name at that podium, given what just happened. It's not going to be enough time. I just don't think it's going to be enough time. Draft
that
April,
video is pretty brutal.
It's brutal. Yeah. It's brutal.
I haven't seen it.
He hasn't had enough time.
Too, man. Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's brutal, bro. And he hasn't had enough time between when it came out, was it, Rob, like in late November, early December, when that video surfaced?
Wow.
So
yep,
between
I think
that
December
April,
6th, it was released to the public, I believe.
Okay,
wow.
So, yeah, he doesn't have enough time to April to the draft to put that behind him unless people just come out between now and April and get some stupid stuff. Pac-Man is helping him, but you need, like, 5-6 more Pac-Man stories to come out and take over the media cycle to give him a slight chance, but I still think it's going to be too tough. I'm sorry. I think it's going to be tough for him.
Yeah. All right, man. We'll see how that plays out for sure. Yeah, like I said, I think you guys made a good point. The Bulls side thinking he's in no man's land, and there's something, like you talked about, I can talk about this, so he had nothing to do, or he had nothing to do but to declare, man. But like I said, I think he's got a tough road. I mean, you know, which, yeah, anytime you hit somebody, yeah, I concur 100%. Especially females, man. So, you know, you made your bed, now you got to sleep in it. Yeah, so that's kind of like it for that. Got to wake up Rob here. All right, let's talk about Rob's first mock draft. We don't
probably
have,
the first
we don't
of all the
before.
Years we've been doing the show, you actually heard me yawn on the show.
Nah, bro,
yeah,
bro, man.
Like,
come on, bro.
I didn't know Dre was going to call you out. I was going to let you ride, but Dre called you out.
Bro, we got to get the show going, man. All right. Oh, it's all good. We'll go through this pretty quickly, man. We'll say the whole show, man. All right, so let's talk about
the highlights,
Rob.
We're gonna get through it.
I know, but we'll make it. We don't have to say the whole time, but we'll keep it going here. Because I'm like you, man. It's been a long week. We're gonna talk about some highlights, Rob, of your first mock draft. I'm gonna give you some credit, number one, because I always, you know, I do give you a hard time, but it is pretty impressive. So I'm gonna kind of give you that high five, man, because I really do appreciate the fact that you take the time to look at this and a lot of props. The only thing that I'm kind of curious about is, interesting enough, you've got Cleveland taking Myles Garrett, you know, the defensive end from Texas A&M with their first pick, when I think they may go quarterback. Now, I'm thinking you may have gone a different direction because they're probably going to get a quarterback maybe in a trade in free agency or something like that, so I can possibly see that happening. Then I can see that pick being okay. But you got San Francisco taking Mitch Trubisky, and it's like, whoa, over Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Kizer. So there's a couple things that we're going to talk about that. I noticed that you did not have Green Bay picking a running back, which I know that they're pretty hungry about. But, you know, like I said, good picks from that perspective. So that's kind of my first initial thought whenever I was looking at the mock draft, that Cleveland's got to get a quarterback. And the first quarterback you select is a guy that, unless he came out of nowhere, not I know from that perspective, but, you know, I guess it seems like you have him rated higher than Deshaun Watson, and you have even Deshaun Kizer as well, too. So I'm going to let you have that. And, JQ, stay ready to give your thoughts as well, sir.
All right. Well, at the moment, it'll be hard as a Cleveland Browns fan if they go through this first round and not come out of it with a quarterback. I mean, it'll be insane. I can tell you this at the moment, and personally, I'm not as high on Myles Garrett as the NFL scouts are. And right now, the NFL scouts, just about everyone across the board has Myles Garrett as the number one prospect in this draft at the moment. And so that's the explanation for him being the number one pick at this current moment. There's a big gap in that grade from 1 to 2. But it'd be hard for me, if I was a Cleveland Brown fan, to justify not coming out of this draft some kind of way with the quarterback pretty high in this draft. So it's still very early, obviously. We're in January, so we're looking at late April or early May, I believe, before we actually get to a draft. There's going to be a lot to go through it, but it's always fun to kind of project, especially from JQ and myself, both of our teams out of the playoffs. So
right.
we already looking forward
right
to next season. So Mitch Trubisky obviously is a guy that came out of nowhere this season, had a phenomenal year. You got to give Larry Fedora a lot of credit, what he's been doing with that North Carolina program the last couple of years. Quietly having one of the better offenses there for the last 3 years in college football. And he really just kind of Trubisky just kind of came out of nowhere, and he's kind of climbed to the top of the quarterback board. He hasn't officially declared for the draft yet, so we'll have to see how that goes as well going forward. The two Alabama guys, Jonathan Allen, Tim Williams, I mean, those guys are straight-up beasts. Both of them. Allen right now having 3 to Chicago. Chicago is another team you can also look at as a possible quarterback destination too. Tim Williams, linebacker from also from Alabama, going to Jacksonville. We all know about Jabril Peppers from Michigan, having right now going to Tennessee. Ooh. Kizer from Notre Dame to the Jets. Have the Bengals actually taken another corner, Marlon Humphrey, cornerback from Alabama, Leonard Fournette. I have him right now going to Carolina, a place I don't want him to go to. Don't want him to see him in the division.
Of course. Yeah. He's going to Cincinnati, bro, if you're on the board. You're crazy. He's going to Cincinnati for the board. Marvin Lewis is all SEC.
Yeah, we shall see.
Yeah, I agree. He don't want that to happen. Go ahead.
Ted Tabor, another corner. The Cleveland Browns came very close to trading Joe Hayden this year, so we'll see how that goes. I haven't taken the corner. Ted Tabor, another corner from Florida. Cam Robinson, clearly right now the best offensive tackle. Typically, your best offensive tackle in the draft is typically a top 5 pick, but still would be a very good pick for any team that can get him in this draft. Derek Burnett, a very good pass rusher, 6'3", 265 from Tennessee. Have him going 12 to Buffalo. Dalvin Cook, another big-name guy, running back, Florida State. Mm-hmm. Look at my beloved Saints, Reuben Foster, linebacker from Alabama. Let's see who the Dirty Turds have them taking. Caleb,
you know what,
Brantley,
bro?
Defensive tackle from Florida, right now number 26. Now, when I did this mock draft, this was before the final positions came out, too. So this will have to be reworked here in the next few weeks, of course.
I care about you and the Aints, bro. The Aints. Go ahead, bro.
The Dirty Turds. Cornerback from Washington is another guy I like a lot. Have him going to the Giants at 29. Watch Taco Chandler, too. This is another guy from Michigan. Only been a starter for a year and a half. I think he can move up in the draft a little bit. I have him going number 30 to Oakland right now.
your thoughts about this, JQ. I'm going to let him ride because I got something for him a little later on.
No, well, the thing about it is you got to think about it. Also, we talk about Cleveland. Trubisky is from Ohio. So if he comes out and puts on any kind of show at the combine, it's going to put a lot of pressure on the Browns at once to take the local kid at number one there. All right, because I don't think he falls to number nine. I think one of those other quarterback need teams pick him up. I think he's just a little bit more of a better pocket passer right now than Kaiser and Watson are. And that's the reason why you're seeing him go higher than them, Dre. For
fair
Cincinnati,
I think
that's just what it is. Cincinnati, it's going to be, you said Humphrey, Alabama. Okay, I'll give you that. It's going to be, and Fournette is there, definitely. And don't sleep on Barnett. The Bengals need another pass rusher on the other side of Dunlop. And if Barnett is there from Tennessee, I don't know if he slides all the way to 12 to Buffalo. The Bengals might snatch him up. Amari, you cannot underestimate Marvin and his affinity for the SEC, and that's just really what it's going to be. But I can't really necessarily quibble with the other picks. I can see all those things happen.
Well, I would love for Fournette to go to the Bengals as opposed to Carolina, so I would be happy with that.
You would be happy with me because I probably would get a Fournette jersey.
Just that's make sure you get
good
the number
call.
7 LSU jersey.
No, that's not going to happen, bro. He can't wear 7 in Cincinnati because of Boomer, so he can't wear 7.
Nope.
So he's about to get
another
number.
There it is. Yeah, I'm a fan of Caleb Brantley. I don't know if he's going to be there whenever we pick because we're going to be picking number 32, but that's a whole other conversation right there. But, you know, good call.
You will wake up after y'all pick number 32.
You know, and then we'll just keep it going.
All right. Okay. You know what? I'm sorry. One other person. I can't remember. I don't think it's Caleb Brantley, the defensive lineman from Stanford who just was wrecking Trubisky in that Sun Bowl. He was a man in that game for Stanford.
Yeah.
I think he shot up some boards. He shot up a lot of boards. Yeah. I can't think of his name right now, but that dude, I think it's 77 was his number or something like that.
Yep.
He was killing North Carolina.
It's not Watt, was it? Hold on.
I can't remember. Let me Google it while you go ahead, and I'll give it to you in a second.
Stanford is always tough in the trenches. They've really been tough, you know, on the offensive line. They've been putting out some solid draft picks on the offensive line in the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, we're on the same page. We'll try to look at it. Yeah, look that up for me. Let me know your thoughts about it too, because I was number 77, right? You think correctly?
Something like that.
No, that's not him.
Sean Watson is another guy. Right now I have him going number 23 to Houston, so he's one to watch there where he's going to wind up in his draft.
Solomon Thomas? Yeah, okay.
I think so.
I'm sorry, Rob. Yeah, okay. I may cut you off there, Rob. Go ahead, sir. Okay. Good deal. All right, Robinson. All right, gentlemen, let's keep this moving here. Good job, Rob. I know, like I said, I give you a hard time sometimes, but I'm impressed that you actually take the time. So look that up. Interesting calls that you're thinking that the Jets are getting a quarterback, you know, so I guess the Geno Smith era it never really started again. So, looking at quarterback. And I guess if you're Cleveland guys, you know, there better not be no trading out of that pick. You know, unless they get a quarterback somehow, you better draft a quarterback because they're going to get all over them because you pass on Wentz again. You got to keep drafting until you get it right. And then I guess the only quarterback, I'm with you. The only the guys I'm thinking of that's interesting as far as that. I know that you had. I was curious, Rob, really quickly on the fact that you had Houston picking Deshaun Watson. Is there a reason why you think about that? I mean, do you think Tom Watson is the answer, or what was your kind of call on that, sir?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm sure you've seen the quarterback play from the Texans this year, I don't think it's a big surprise. Even when you give a guy that kind of money, sometimes you still got to admit your mistakes and you got to try to right your mistakes. I mean, this Houston team they've been winning this AFC South here, I believe, about 3 years in a row, and they've been doing it with like 9-7 records every year. And the main reason is because of the lack of the quarterback play. And they have some solid wide receivers. They got the kid from Notre Dame with blazing speed, DeAndre Hopkins. And their defense has been pretty good. But their quarterback play has been suspect, and that's why they just go to the playoffs. They may win a game, but they're not going to go far. And so they have to do something to fix that position. They tried. with Brock, and it's just not working out.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and you're forgetting.
There it is.
They drafted Tyler Irvin from San Jose State. They have him. They got Braxton Miller from Ohio State. They've got some speed. You put Watson with that and Lamar Miller at running back. They've got position players. You're absolutely right. They just don't have a quarterback. I can't. That's what I said. I can't be mad at that pick. Can you imagine all of that with Deshaun Watson? And if he just it plays a little bit like Dak Prescott, he would make Houston dangerous.
Yeah. Good call. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about the wild card picks here. So we got a couple games here. We talked about the Raiders and the Texans earlier where everyone's pretty much picking the Texans to the fact that just because of Connor Cook starting at quarterback. Let's talk about the next game, gentlemen, the Lions and Seahawks. And, JQ, you get the first crack at this one, sir.
You know, the Seahawks aren't who they used to be with Earl Thomas being hurt. But I just cannot pick Detroit going on the road to beat Seattle in Seattle. I think that 12th man, that defense does just enough to find a way in Russell Wilson. You know, Detroit, Darius Slay is an outstanding cornerback, and I think he's going to give Doug Baldwin problems. But you still got to deal with Jimmy Graham, and you still got to deal with Russell Wilson's ability to make plays when things break down. And I think he and the defense makes just enough plays for Seattle to beat Detroit.
Rob.
I agree. I just can't see them going on the road. Seattle's a tough place as a road team going to win. I'm not sure what the conditions are going to be, but still those fans are loud. And, you know, the outdoor stadium, you know, it rains in Seattle almost every day. So, I just can't see Detroit being able to go on the road and win this game in Seattle. But I definitely don't think Seattle's that team this year. They're definitely not that team. I think you have to be afraid of on fault.
Gotcha. So the reason why we're kind of leaning towards the Seahawks is because they're at home. I think it's going to be a close game, too. And shout out to you, Shaq Diesel, man. I was hoping to pull out for your Lions, man. It may be tough, man, right now, too. So, you know, I think if Matt Stafford was fully healthy, it may have been a different thing. But they got to pull out a Herculean effort to make that happen, too. So I think we're on the same page as far as that. So, yeah. Let's talk
about
another
SAT words, Donald.
I know, bro. That's what it's all about. Let's talk about another good matchup. And I know even though JQ hates talking about this squad, the Dolphins at the Steelers, we mentioned earlier that the Steelers are probably the only team that could possibly beat the Patriots. So I think, you know, we're all going to be on the same page that Steelers are going to get this. From my perspective, I know Matt Moore's making his first start in the game, too. So Jay Ajayi's been, you know, running incredible. But right now, I just think maybe a little bit too much firepower for the Dolphins to deal with, even though Ndamukong Suh is there. So, JQ, go ahead first, bro. What are your thoughts, man?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Rob. I'm not going to give no more airtime I already gave him. You know I'm picking Pittsburgh. So I'm not going to say nothing else. I mean, I've already
JQ, tell him what your nickname is for Pittsburgh.
So
I can't do it, man. I'm trying to. I can't do it. I got in trouble last time for not being PC.
We got the guy. So we got it ready to hit the button as soon as you say it.
Little dumb,
you know I'm not talking about Pittsburgh no more.
We FCC protected.
Listen, I already picked Pittsburgh. I'm not saying nothing about him. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, you got to go with Pittsburgh in this game at home. Matt Moore, starting quarterback from Miami. Come on, another team has got their starter hurt, and you just started to see that light switch possibly come on for Ryan Tannehill, and then he gets hurt. So that's a big blow to the Dolphins. I don't know if they would have been able to beat Pittsburgh even with Tannehill, but definitely not without him. You got to go Pittsburgh at home. I think offensively, if they're on, it's just going to be too explosive.
Mm-hmm. Love it. All right, we're not gonna keep messing with JQ. Let's talk about the New York Football Giants at the Green Bay Packers. And the Packers, man, a scary team. Once again, they always seem to be hitting that stride at the exact same time of the year. And the Giants seem to be a little Jekyll and Hyde. So, Rob, start us off with your thoughts about this particular game, sir.
I think this is the best game of the weekend and the most intriguing, in my opinion. Because I think the Giants definitely, they spent a ton of money on that defense, and they were the worst defensive team in the league last season at 32. And then you see Landon Collins make a huge jump from that first to second year guy, one of the better players on defense in the NFL this season. So I think this is definitely an intriguing matchup. But once again, you're going into the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. And another tough place to go on the road and get a victory. And Green Bay is hot right now. And Rodgers, it seems like, his old self again here in the last 6 to 8 weeks. So you got to go to Green Bay. Green Bay and Seattle on their home turf, they're just going to be tough to beat on their home field. I got to go with Green Bay. But I think this is the most intriguing matchup of the weekend.
JQ. Well, I mean, you're right for everything that you just said, but Eli has won at Green Bay in the playoffs, and he's back again. And it's that what you said about that defense for sure. I picked Green Bay as my Super Bowl pick, so I've got to pick Green Bay. But it's going to be a close game. I think the winner of this game goes to the Super Bowl from the NFC. And I'm sorry, Dre, but I just do. I agree with you. I think it's the best game of the weekend. I think it's the one that's the most influential in the NFC for sure. I just feel like Aaron Rodgers at home makes one more play than Eli might can make for the Giants. It's just, oh man, it's one I'm looking forward to. I totally agree. I think this is going to be the best game of the weekend, easily.
Fair enough. Good call. I agree. It's going to be a good game. And I definitely respect everybody's opinions on that too, man. So like I said, from my perspective, I don't care who we play, man. I don't care. Let's knock it out, man. So if we play the Packers, bring it on. We waiting for them. We play the Giants, bring it on. I don't care. So let's just, come on.
I'm just going with track record right now. You know what I mean?
I'm with you. It's all good. No, like I said, no hard feelings, bro. We got to play. All right, let's talk about the Aints here. The Saints fire five assistant head coaches, but Sean Payton, boy, got like 9 lives. So likely, man, I don't know if this is true or not because there's rumors that he's gonna get traded to the Rams for some draft picks.
They ain't got
rest assured. They ain't got nothing, bro.
They ain't got no draft
picks.
They don't have any.
Rob, go ahead, bro. They don't have any draft picks.
Well, it looks like obviously Sean Payton will be remaining with the Saints, but he did fire 5 assistant coaches, and it's probably something that's way overdue. But I know these guys have been close friends of Sean Payton as well. And so I think it was the first sign that he's probably tired of these 79 seasons. He fired Joe Vitt, who was the assistant head coach, linebackers coach. They've been together for his entire time in New Orleans since 06. And then Bill Johnson, a defensive line coach, who you're familiar with the Dirty Turds.
So
he was also with the Falcons at one point. And, and then also special teams coach, Greg McMahon. He and Sean Payton were teammates together in college. So these are some guys that have been friends with Sean Payton for quite some time. And then also the assistant linebackers coach, James Willis, and assistant special teams coach, Stan Kahn, also got fired. So this is, like I said, these are some moves that probably should have been done 4 or 5 years ago, or maybe not 4 or 5 years, but at least 3 years ago. And they're finally being done. And so we'll see if it will make an impact on their team going forward.
What are your thoughts, Chicky?
You know, I was going to go somewhere different. And then as you were talking, Rob, I thought about it. And it feels like they're still working on that deal for Sean Payton. Because I didn't know about all those relationships. But if I'm the Saints brass, then I'm like, okay, Sean Payton is done. You know, listen, Sean Payton has exalted status there. And Rob won't get mad at me. But if you can win a Super Bowl in New Orleans when they had a 1-1, period, you're going to have rarefied air. Like, if Marvin Lewis had a 1-1 for Cincinnati, I couldn't say nothing about that dude. We would bow down to that dude and love his dirty draws to the day that he died. And that's just where we are. The same way with Quinn. If Quinn wins a Super Bowl with Atlanta, he can go down to Peachtree Street and pull his junk out and piss on somebody, and they go, still love him because he won a Super Bowl to Atlanta.
Yep.
So it's that kind of mentality that you got to understand that he has that kind of built-up cachet to work with. But the flip side of that is if I'm trying to get rid of you and I've got a deal in the works to get rid of you, what else am I going to do? Not only am I going to get rid of you, I'm going to fire everybody that's close to you. And that's pretty much what they just done. So it makes me pause and say, well, he's done a lot for them, but once they fire, like, yeah, they're going to say he had say in it. And I know Rob knows more about it than I do, but from the outside looking in, I'm like, okay, they talk about trading him, and now they fired all of his peoples. Does that mean the trade is imminent? Because if I'm going to trade you, I'm likely going to get rid of all your supporters in the building. So it's like a hand-to-hand kind of thing. So they did one of the dominoes, but the other domino hasn't failed. And I'm wondering, are we waiting on that domino to fall for Sean Payton to be traded?
Well, I can tell you this right now. Sean Payton is not going to get traded. He will be the head coach in New Orleans Saints next season.
Like somebody's in denial.
No. I'm just, you know, I'm just telling you a fact. I'm not. There's not something that. I mean, it doesn't matter to me one way or the other if he stays or not.
Gotcha.
But you know, but he will be.
He
will be
there.
Hmm?
Yeah.
He won you a Super Bowl. Where you didn't have any.
Oh, I mean,
how you gonna treat that man?
It's not gonna phase me one way. If we keep him, that's great. If we don't, I mean, I'm sure we get somebody to replace him. I don't feel the same way about Sean Payton that I did about Les Miles. I still believe Sean Payton can coach. And Sean Payton's strength is offense. And you look at the Saints had over 6,800 yards of total offense this past season. They were second in the NFL in scoring. The problem is that you still got to figure out a way to fix the defense. And special teams for the Saints. The Saints just fired the special teams coordinator. They just fired the special teams assistant coach. Special teams probably cost the Saints at least 3 games this season if you follow the Saints closely. That's big in the NFL. that alone with the defense, easily cost the Saints at least 3 games this past season. So, offensively, as long as he's there, they're going to be successful on that side of the ball. But he's just got to figure out a way to get the right personnel with the defense and the special teams.
All right. That's enough about it. That's enough about the eights. That's enough, man. Okay, that's enough. America, we'll talk about that, bro. We won't talk about that no more.
It's interesting, though. It's interesting from both sides of it. Like I hear what he's saying, and it makes sense from a stats piece of it. Mine was just from an outside looking in of if I'm gonna get rid of a dude, I'm gonna get rid of him and all his homeboys. It's like, well, they got rid of all his homeboys, but he's still there. So does that mean something else is happening? But it's the other side that I also talked about too, that he won them a Super Bowl.
But these are all Sean Payton's decisions. There was nobody above him's decision. This Sean Payton made these calls on these firings.
I don't believe that.
Wow. Good call.
And another interesting fact, too, they're the first team in NFL history to have over 6,800 yards of offense and missed the playoffs.
Okay, so, he just threw that log on the fire just to do it. That didn't have nothing to do with the conversation.
I remember
Rob putting it out.
Bro, right.
Throwing them love.
All right, bro. Yeah, it's been fun, man. Awesome. Good job. All right, let's continue on here. And this was actually pretty interesting because I was reading about this and that the Hawks are finalizing a trade to send Kyle Korver to the Cavs. Kind of interesting story in that I think you're kind of helping the Cavs here. I don't know what's going down with this, but I need to talk to Mike Budenholzer because he is sucking as my GM right now, bro. I'm not a fan of what's happening, but I'll let you talk about this, JK. Your thoughts, man.
It's just an escalation in the arms race between Golden State and Cleveland. That's all that is. And the other thing it is that Atlanta, but they punted. Once you trade Kyle Korver right now, you basically are getting ready to punt on the season and go into tank mode. Because the only reason you do that is to get a first-round pick to pair with your first-round pick to move up to get a good person, get a good stud in the draft. There's no other reason for it. I mean, it's what? Early January, you're trading Kyle Korver. That means Millsap is next. You do know that, right? So That's bad for the Hawks, but that's what they're getting ready to do. But it's just another step in making sure that we see the trilogy in June.
Fair enough. Rob?
Well, I mean, we talked about this, follows about a month ago when the J.R. Smith got hurt for the Cavs. And I felt like the Cavs are missing another good outside shooter on this team, even with J.R. Smith healthy. So this is obviously a really good pickup if Kyle Korver is healthy. He can really stroke the basketball. You got two guys in LeBron James that Kyrie Irving can get to the paint at will, and you can play that draw and kick game. And if you got guys like J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver that can knock down those open shots, that really helps you to spread the floor. And then you got another guy like Kevin Love who can also knock down open shots as well. This is what they need in order to have a chance to beat Golden State in the seven-game series. There's also some rumors about them talking to the Bulls about bringing on Rondo as a backup point guard too. So that'll be interesting to see.
Ooh.
Here's, you know, now Cleveland is mortgaging the future now. I mean, they've traded just about every first-round draft pick until 2099 to get some of these guys. So, I mean, they may not have a first-round pick until the year 2100. But, you know, I guess right now while you got a chance at it,
hey,
you know, you
got
to go for it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, you never know when these opportunities come around again for you to have an opportunity to win a championship. So you're mortgaging the future a little bit. But I know the Hawks will get a first-round pick, but you're looking at it's probably going to be a late first-round pick anyway.
Right. Right, that's my point. I say not
but
really.
It's
though,
protected.
It's
protected, though. But
the thing about it is though is that even without that trade, they're still really good and they're playing in the bad Eastern Conference. So you're right, Rob. They traded their first round picks for like the next 6 years. But you're looking at you got Curry for another four. Cleveland and LeBron's probably still going to stay for another. He's probably going to ride out with Kyrie. Once Kyrie has showed him what he can do, I think he realizes that Kyrie at his age is the best thing going right now. For somebody that's gonna love him and they've already won one title together. So, if you're Cleveland, I'm always trading 25 or lower, you know, or lower. So it's not like you're trading away like Brooklyn gave away everything to get, you know, Pierce and Garnett, and then they tanked and they're still bad. So you're giving away, third in the first round, fifth in the first round, second in the first round. Cleveland's are all like 22nd, 25th, 28th. 30th. You know, it's way off in that bottom part where you still had a crapshoot anyway once you talk about the NBA draft. So I like it. When you got a chance to win that many championships, go for it. I mean, it's like I said, it's just an escalation in the arms race between Golden State and Cleveland.
Yeah. And LeBron is 32. How many more years does he have left being in his prime? At the rate he's going, it looks like you probably can get another 4 to 5 years of him playing basketball at a high level. And so you got to maximize this opportunity here in the next 4 to 5 years.
And I believe Kyrie's contract runs out after 4 years. I believe right before the CBA expired, he signed a 5-year extension and last year was his first year. So he's got 4 years left. So in that scenario, 4 to 5 years left, once Kyrie hits the game winner for Golden State, I think LeBron looked up and said, yep, I got my dude for the next 4 years. We're going to see where I end up at 36. And they are accommodating me as you do it.
I'm just tripping out. We're getting freaking Mike Dunleavy in a draft. I don't know. It is what it is, man. I don't know. It's just crazy. But I don't know.
That's for the pick, Drake. If you take your pick and Cleveland's pick, you can move up in the first round. It's like having
one.
It's like Boston has been moving around in the draft all these past couple years with their pick and Brooklyn's pick. It's about being able to maneuver in the draft, and that's what it's about.
I'm with you.
What they're doing.
Yeah, it's all good. All right, I apologize. We got about 2 minutes here, or actually 1:45. I apologize. Hey, Rob, can you go ahead and set it up for the OT? We got about probably like another 15 minutes, and we'll talk about fantasy basketball. And last couple things here, sir. So go ahead.
Hey, I lost track of time. Good thing you're on your A game tonight. I guess you're having fun. But anyway, people, what night do you all want to do next week, fellas? Back to Tuesday night?
That's fine with me.
Yeah, Tuesday works. Yep.
All right. We'll be on the air Tuesday night on next week. That would be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss us on next week. Obviously, we'll be recapping a national championship game, Clemson and Alabama, which, by the way, we will be covering our OT portion of the show. So you want to click on the same link on tomorrow. We can't give you the OT portion live, but click on the same link. Our college football fans, you don't want to miss it. Click on this on tomorrow. We'll give you our preview of the national championship game. Also, we'll recap the playoffs, get you ready for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs on Tuesday night of next week. So you don't want to miss it. Continue to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We always got some great information for you. And have a great week. Good night, people.
Thank you.
I'm boycotting the national championship game. I don't even want to watch it. I'm going to watch like a, you know, marathon of Law and Order or something. I ain't even watching
it. Oh, man, you know you're going to be watching it. You're going to change your mind about
it. I ain't going to watch it, Rob. You don't.
I hate Alabama, and I'm going to watch it.
I ain't going to watch it. I'm bitter, and I'm hurting and embarrassed. You're not embarrassed.
JQ is still in his feelings right about now, man. Man, he's still in his feelings about
it. Deeply. Like,
think how I feel, man. If it wasn't for Les Miles, we might have had a chance at this thing. We played Alabama tougher than anybody in the country this year.
Wow.
Well, that's true. That's a true
thing. Let me ask this question for you, JQ. If you somehow pulled it off versus Clemson, you knew at the end of the road you had Alabama. You knew that was coming. And you know how dominant Alabama was.
Yeah.
Would you want to, like, it's like, do you lose now or lose later? I mean, I don't know how you know.
I want to win. Lose. That's that ridiculous talk. I want to talk about losing. I'm talking about winning.
Well,
so yeah, no,
I know, but I'm saying
that.
Though,
hey, listen.
Alabama's a pretty tough. I mean, seriously, do you really think you would have beat Alabama? Seriously.
Well, you know what? Not with our offensive play caller, but he's gone. Thank the Lord,
okay.
We got a new play caller. It might be a silver lining. But yeah, but once you in it, you know you want to win it. You know what I mean? So it's like it don't matter. It's only four teams left. You're gonna play two hard games unless they got it totally wrong by the committee, right? So
okay. You
got once you make it, you got to know that you got two hard games. So yeah, and once Alabama's in the field, especially with the year they were having, you knew it was gonna be hard to do. But I still want the opportunity to make it happen, as opposed to sitting on the sideline.
So with that being said, do you think that Clemson has a shot, or is it gonna be Alabama Roll Tide all the way? JQ.
You know, I would rather lose to the champs from just, you know, not being, you know, being partial. But if I look at those two teams and I say to myself, which is the best unit on the field between the two, if you combine the two teams, it's the Alabama front seven. And I just, you know, they score touchdowns. They find a way to get in the end zone or put it right almost on the doorstep. And I think they've removed the Lane Kiffin distraction. That's another kudos to Nick Saban saying, okay, yeah, that play calling you was doing against Washington, we ain't going to do that again. You go ahead and go bye-bye, and we're going to do something different. So that piece of it with that defense, I can't say that Clemson won, it would shock me, because I don't think it's going to be a blowout either way. But I'm going to put my money on that Alabama front seven to make a play or two. That's been my phrase all night. They're going to make a play or two to find a way for Nick Saban to get number six, I believe, right?
Yeah, I really thought that that a better game was going to be Ohio State and Alabama, just because I just figured that it'd be more of a kind of a thing that would happen. But I actually see Clemson, when I was watching the game, that Clemson really has – they really have an explosive offense. So, you know, that's something to think about. So the matchup is going to be a good matchup. So, but I agree with you. It's going to come down to defense,
yeah.
And who has kind of the better unit for that too. But I was just curious about your thoughts, and I'm going to throw it to Rob too. So – you know, same question, sir. I know we're kind of we moved forward to that too, but your thoughts on this game and does Clemson have a shot?
I think we're looking at another close. I think this game could be very close, but it's as much as I hate Alabama and want them to lose, just like JQ said, their defense is the funny thing is they don't have the depth that they had last year, but their starting seven is better than their starting seven last year. And so, I mean, this their defense is ferocious. You just saw my first early mock draft. I mean, you got two Alabama players in the top five of the defense going in the top five of the draft. And then you look at Marlon Humphrey. That's three of the top 10 players all on Alabama's defense. It just stays according to this form in the next 4 months. So this is a ferocious defense. That's going to be tough for Clemson to crack, in my opinion. I think the thing that could balance it a little bit here, you lose Lane Kiffin, the guy who's been calling the plays, and I think he's done a phenomenal job, although he probably had his worst play-calling game of the season against Washington last week. But
yeah,
it's obvious that his focus is not 100% on Alabama. So we got to see Steve Sarkisian, how he picks that up, you know, is that going to be a difference? Is that going to play in Clemson's favor without having Lane Kiffin? The guy's been calling plays all year for him. The team is used to Lane Kiffin. So that could be the one thing that could possibly help Clemson. But I keep going back to that Alabama defense. This is the reason why I keep saying I think I got to go with Alabama in this game.
But you know what? The thing about it, Dre, is that Sark and Kiffin are basically come from the same kind of offensive principle in mind, and that's why he was hired in that position to begin with. So it's not as big a drop-off. I hear what you're saying because Lane's done it all year. But if it was somebody else that was coming in that was just a big name they were bringing in to help rehabilitate him as well, I think it might be more of a variable. But Sark and Lane are really close in what they think and how they are personally too as well. They're really good friends. So it's not going to be as big. Maybe a different cadence coming into the speaker, but – I think from a philosophy standpoint, you're going to get the same kind of game plan and flow from Sark that you get from Lane. I don't know if Sark is as good as Lane is, but he's not a major drop-off. It could be a major drop-off. This kind of thing would hurt another program much more so than it hurts Alabama just because of that familiarity between Lane and Sark.
Good call. Didn't Sarkisi do something crazy, too, over the – I already did something crazy. Please forgive me if I'm –
He had the drinking issue with USC.
He was probably the one guy
that looked like he was about to have USC back on the right path again, although the guy now, Clay Helton, is doing a heck of a job too now with the way they've kind of turned the team around this season as well. So it won't take them long. If USC can just stay out of trouble, they're going to be great because they just got so much talent in their backyard.
Yes,
I will
agree. Sark ate the book on TV. Is what happens, right?
Yeah, that's what happened. That's a little crazy. I was like, oh, but I got to say too, just kind of circling back around, that was a great game between USC and Penn State. I got to admit, that was one of the better games.
One of the better
bowl
games.
I was like watching that live. I was like, oh my god!
I didn't watch it.
If James Franklin would have pulled that off, man, that would have been an upset of upsets. But just an amazing game, man. They were going back and forth, JQ, man, and then it came down to that last. Great drive by USC, and then your boy quarterback.
I read about it.
It was crazy. I know, but it was more exciting.
Franklin is one of the better bright coaches in the game. He's an up and coming right now.
You didn't think the game was
going
to, you know. Yeah. Well, I'm saying you didn't think that Penn State was going to go in there and do that. Yeah. But you don't think that Penn State was going to go in there and do it.
I did,
Rob. I know I didn't. I was like, whoa. This is actually a game of USC. Was like, oh, they were kind of stressing for a minute. So you got to give credit where credit is due. But, that was just a great game.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I digress. Everyone's picking pretty much Alabama. I think Clemson can pull it off somehow. I just want to be different from you guys, but I think
come on ACC. We knew you was going to the ACC. You stopped talking about trying to be different. We knew you were ACC homer.
Come on ACC, pull it off.
Speaking of conferences, JQ, the Little Big Ten.
Yeah,
no,
it was
the Little Ten. Not even I can't even put big in there. The Little Ten, 3-6 in bowl games.
Yeah, they was awful. They was awful. Ain't no sugarcoating it. They were awful.
Awful. Awful. Yeah. Good call. Hey, Rob, this is these fantasy shout-outs real quick, and then we'll talk about some folks that are feeling retirement and stuff like that real quick as we get ready. We got about 7 minutes here.
Fantasy shout-outs. Jake Hughes, Ohio Players, had the biggest win of the week, 7-1 over our other co-host Andre's team, Triple Double.
Yours truly team
is still in first place, the Orleans Buck Jumpers. 58-21-1.
Okay.
And I've been so busy last week, I was forgetting to set my lineup, so I had to get it back straight today.
Yeah, you was tripping. You were in trouble.
Yeah, me too.
We might have a new number one team next week.
I think I'm only one category behind right now. By the end of this weekend, I'll be winning something like 6-2 to 7-1.
It's only a matter of time.
Now that I got my lineup straight.
He know I'm coming for him. Y'all listen to that, America.
I look ahead. I don't look back.
Oh, gosh. This Joker. Really,
I know you're here. Sorry, my man.
Choo-choo train. I love it. I'm curious about this thought, too, that Chris Bosh finally admits he's getting a taste of retirement. What do you mean by this one, Rob?
Well, obviously, we've had this conversation about him. Chris Bosh definitely wants to return back to the NBA, but it's looking more and more likely that in his best interest, he's probably going to have to retire from the NBA. So it's a serious issue for him here, especially when we're talking about blood clots and things of that nature. He's trying to do everything he can. He's trying to get multiple doctors to sign off on him to play in the NBA again. He just can't find one to sign off on him playing in the NBA. So I think he's coming to that realization that retirement is probably going to be the best way for him to go and for his health and his family and, going forward here. So it's tough because he was obviously still in the prime of his career, but you got to think about your life and your wife and your kids and things of that nature.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, he lives out there in Florida with no state tax. Yeah, listen, living out there in Florida with no state tax in Miami with that fine wife, it sucks for him. Don't get me wrong, basketball-wise. But life-wise, he's straight. He'll be all right.
Nobody's crying for him, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay, good deal. This is interesting, too, as we get ready to wrap up the show here. Brandon Phillips blocked the trade from Cincinnati to Atlanta. What do you think about that one, JQ?
You know what? I he must love Cincinnati. He must have some chicks downtown that he's like, I'm not leaving these chicks at all. I got no trade clause. I am good. He blocked the trade to Washington, which would have sent him to the playoffs. He now is blocking the trade to Atlanta, which would have brought him back home because he went to Redan. I'm like, that might have been the only way you would have got me in a Braves jersey because I would have gotten a Phillips jersey. And I'm not going to lie, like I probably wouldn't have. I probably would have. But he loves Cincinnati, and I love him for loving my city. So let's go, Brandon.
Rob, yeah, go ahead, bro.
Well, I mean, obviously JQ's probably got more information about this than I do. I know the Braves have kind of cooled off on him a little bit after they signed Sean Rodriguez to a 2-year, $11.5 million deal. But the trade is still possible, so it's we have to see what happens going forward. And I think he's blocked about 3 or 4 trades from the Reds.
He has.
I think the Nationals tried to get him at one point here in the past year. And a couple of other teams have tried to acquire him in the last couple of years. So he's definitely been utilizing
Arizona.
That no-trade clause.
Yeah.
Arizona. They tried to trade him to Arizona. They blocked it. And he would have blocked the trade to go to New York for Gardner. So, yeah, he loves Cincinnati. He said he don't want to leave. That's what he says. I mean, at this point, I got to take him at his word.
You can have him, bro. You can have him, bro. If you don't want to be
Brandon
here, I don't want you. I'm with you. I mean, good player, man. But like I said, man, if you don't want to be here, I don't want no party. That's like your other boy, Jeff Shamarja. Some reason I just never wanted to be with the Braves, man. So, I'm like, you know what? I don't want you either. Stay home. Go where you want to go. I hope that we wreck shop whatever against you. I'm just saying. That's just my 2 cents on that. We got about 2 minutes. Really quickly, guys, do you want to talk about the ball game at Wrigley Field? Anything about that, Rob, and get ready to wrap the show up after this? Get 30 seconds, both of you guys.
Well, Wrigley is getting ready to go through somewhat of an expansion. So, they see Yankee Stadium is hosting bowl games, the Pinstripe Bowls. They want to get into the business. Right now, their stadium is not set up to host a football game. They did it with Northwestern and Illinois in 2010. And both teams had to use the same end zone because the field is not quite set up for football, but they are expanding it. And so hopefully after 2020, that's when their goal is to start hosting some bowl games and some more of Northwestern's home games going forward. So that'll be interesting going forward. But in the meantime, join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Once again, we have college football recap, a wild card weekend recap, and preview the divisional rounds for you. So you don't want to miss next week's show. Good night, people.
End it for us, JQ.
Straight cash, homie. That's what Wrigley Field is. Straight cash, homie. And I'm not recapping anything because I'm not watching the national championship game. So whenever they talk about it, you'll sit here and hear me hum. You go,
don't believe him, America. He'll be watching it.
I'm not watching
the Dollar General Bowl.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Appreciate you hollering next week. Be safe out here in the snow because these folks in Atlanta can't drive. Be safe.
Be safe.
I think it's just people in general that can't drive, but that's a whole other conversation too. America.
He watched the Poland Weed Eater Bowl too if it was on TV.
All this.
Hey,
Rod's
gonna get off.
It's a... He said you take it off. You gotta watch this bowl.
He knows it's true. That's why he's not commenting.